it is something that we have been trying to achieve for a very long time. The interactions with the Peace Commission, the United Nations Peace Commission, is just long overdue meetings, and the government of South Sudan made this request to have a dialogue with the international community. You have seen the participation of the AU, of the United Nations, member states, and all our partners in this peace-building process, including some countries that we have bilateral relations with, countries that have already contributed, like Japan, Netherlands, Sweden, and the rest. So that is exactly what we wanted, to hear from them, and for them also to hear from us the progress we have made so far. And it was actually commendable that part of the work we have done in this country that we have not realized being appreciated was openly appreciated today by some of our friends. And we thank the United Nations Resident Coordinator, Madam Sarah, here, for all the efforts that she put forward to make sure that this meeting takes place timely, as it has taken place today. Our ambassador to the United Nations, Ambassador Akwebona, has also done a tremendous job to make sure that it happened. I thank my colleague, the ministers, who have made it to this meeting also. It is a timely meeting, and it's very important because it's all about peace building. The government of the day is a government of peace, and there is nothing we can do in South Sudan without peace first. And we have received today the commitment of the international community. We have also registered our commitment to the partnership with the international community through the United Nations mission in South Sudan, to the United Nations resident office here, and all the UN agencies that are already in partnership with us here. And we also register our commitment to the partnership also with the diplomatic mission in Juba, especially the missions that have already contributed to capacity building for our institutions that we have just established. So it was actually a fruitful meeting. It's timely,
mm-hmm.
and it happened at the request of the government of national unity.
All right, thank you. I'll be getting back to you shortly, Ms. Sarah. You responded quite quickly at this request. Why did you think this was so significant?
I responded very quickly because the people of South Sudan matter. This is about the people. This is about 12 million people who require peace. And this is about how we organize ourselves as a UN family in South Sudan to support the people of South Sudan to enjoy peace dividends. This is a country that's the youngest in the United Nations. It's the youngest on the continent of Africa. And we are here at this particular time to support this country to realize all of the objectives and all of the ideals that were set forth when this country gained its independence. Recognizing that implementation of the agreement has been slow, it has been stagnated, we saw this request as an opportunity to then support the government to have us make some efforts to move the agenda forward. And we are hoping that this meeting today, with the huge participation of the international community, we had almost every one of the 31 member states of the Peace Building Commission speak today. It was overwhelming. And I believe that this will be a turning point in how the government of South Sudan engages this part of the UN system, which is a Peace Building Commission.
Okay. Yes. What were some of the updates that were shared in the meeting that eventually everybody had to respond to?
Well, we shared the achievements and the challenges in this peace process. We have shared, for example, our accomplishments in chapter 1 and chapter 2, the transitional security arrangement and the establishment of governance structures in the country from the national level all the way to the local government. We have also shared some other achievement in some chapters, critical chapters of the agreement. For example, chapter 6, the progress we have made in the constitutional making process, the progress we have made in ensuring that the bill for constitutional making process is passed, and the progress we have made in making laws, reviewing laws to reform institutions in the country. We have also reported our challenges, especially the resources challenges, the disasters that are mostly natural, like floods, COVID-19, and the global economic crisis which is facing every country. We presented those to the participants of this conference, and we have received very positive response. We have received a lot of positive comments very clearly. Some of our friends in the international community sympathize with the predicament of the people of South Sudan, the need for building an inclusive governance system, the need for accountable governance, the need for establishment of the strong institutions. Being an infant nation, a nation that has just been established, some of our friends in the diplomatic corps, especially the member states, have also recognized that. And from so many of them, we heard the appreciations of the member state for establishment of a structure such as Ministry of Peace Building. And many of them pledge their commitment to support the United Nations Peace Building Commission, to support the capacity of the government of the Republic of South Sudan.
All right. Now, it's one thing for all these partners and the UN to support, but then there is response. And Madame Nyanti talked about the slow rate at which everything is progressing. Now that you've had this meeting and you've listened to everyone recommit to this support, how do you plan, as a ministry that's focal to ensuring peace building, how do you plan to make sure that you move faster?
Well, the plans are in place. The ministry is a new ministry. It has been established institutionally. The work plans are very clear. We have a strategic frameworks out. Very soon, we will share it with the public. We are also working on peace-building policy of South Sudan. The institutional establishment from the national level all the way to the county is underway in so many ways. And we have established the ministry at least 75%. Even at the county level, we have a county peace building committees, and we have directorates of peace building at all these levels. Under the Ministry of Peace Building at the state level, the institutions, the directorates are also being established throughout the country. We have ministries of peace building in 10 states of South Sudan. So the ministry is structurally established from the national level all the way down. We have also embarked on peace-building activities, such as dialogue, intra-communal dialogues. We have also gone to the state with what we call a leadership retreat to encourage unity of the state government all the way to the counties. We have established peace committees at all this level, and we are working with all the peace-building institutions and the local authorities, the traditional leadership authorities of South Sudan. That is the architecture of the peace-building we are putting together. And we are the focal point for, you know, early warning, early response in partnership with IGAD. So this is how far we have gone so far in 2.5 years of the ministry establishment. So the ministry is on course.
Okay, so it's on course. Now, what are your next key priorities?
Well, the priorities of the year, one is peace dissemination, which we are planning to do in collaboration with the United Nations in South Sudan, the UNDP and all other partners. That's priority number one. We want to go back to our people as political leadership of the country, and all the parties in Artigono must go back to the people of South Sudan, disseminate peace, and work together to bring our people back together, to work together for peace.
When you say disseminate peace, how will this work? What methods are you planning to use?
Well, peace dissemination would work just the same way I'm communicating this to you. The people of South Sudan need to know the contents of the peace agreement that we have signed. They want to also hear from us the progress we have made. Ultimately, the people of South Sudan need to see practically from the leadership of the country that peace and reconciliation and national healing are taking place. So it is a public communication with our people to inform them that peace has come to South Sudan and that their roles, their moral support, their participation in building their own peace, honing it at their own program, is paramount.
Okay. What are the other priorities?
Priorities are so many, but intra-communal dialogues. The dialogues among our communities, which I have already mentioned, is the central objectives of establishing the ministry. So the vision of the Ministry of Peace Building is to ensure that the traditional leadership authorities, the youth, the women, and our community leaders are involved in making their own peace at the local level. The empowerment of traditional leadership authorities, the capacity building for local government, for them to build peace and mitigate conflicts at the local level, is another priority. But all of this depends actually on the establishment of the security. I also doubled as Secretary General of the NTC, which is responsible for transitional security arrangements. Priority number one is public security. This cannot come to pass if all the forces that have been fighting each other for the last 7 years come together under one unified force. And the effort is being undertaken at the cantonments, the barracks, the training centers. And as you have known, we have just graduated the first batch, and we will complete the rest of the process through the deployment of forces that have been graduated. And we will embark on the second phase of the integration and the merger of forces.
Okay. Ms. Nyanti, you've heard all the updates on what has been done, and you already know what has not yet been done. Where do you come in terms of both monitoring and support from now?
What happened today doesn't replace the existing mechanisms for monitoring the peace process. What happened today doesn't replace RGMEC. It doesn't replace CTSAM. It doesn't replace those agreements that have been made that were facilitated by IGAD, African Union, and ourselves and others. What today does is provides additional momentum to some elements of what is happening in the country. It provides the Peace Building Commission with encouragement that with the signing of the roadmap and the commitment that's being articulated by government to say that government is ready to ensure that the stagnation that was experienced in recent times, those bottlenecks have been removed, and government is saying to the Peace Building Commission that they're ready to ensure that all of the benchmarks will be met on time for elections 2024 and for this the end of this agreement by 2025, February. That was what happened today. So today is another enforcement of an ongoing process. What today also is a landmark event that then signaled to the Peace Building Commission that South Sudan is ready for that engagement, strategic engagement with other aspects of the instrument of the Peace Building Commission, whether it's increased funding to South Sudan, whether it's paving the way for a visit of the Peace Building Commission to come to South Sudan to then build their own confidence in the measures that are being taken. So those are all next steps that should solidify then and concretize the relationship, the partnership with the Peace Building Commission. However, it rests with the government of South Sudan to continue this momentum and to continue the implementation of the roadmap. Nobody can do that for the government of South Sudan. The government of South Sudan has to take the leadership role and has to demonstrate that what they have articulated, they will fulfill. And I believe the goodwill that was expressed today is genuine. Significant goodwill was expressed today. We need to now capitalize on that and really work together in partnership to move the country forward.
Okay, so some challenges were as well shared, some of which maybe you knew and others probably knew. How much more effort is the UN now going to put into making sure that there's support and a push as well to manage the rest of what needs to be achieved?
I think one of the things that needs to be clarified very often is the fact that the UN is supporting. The UN will only support as far as the government will allow the UN to support. If the government doesn't take the steps the government needs to take in a particular direction, the UN cannot go ahead of the government. So everything we do will depend on government's leadership and government's advancement in those particular areas. Our hope is that the delays we've seen in some of the benchmarks for the agreement will now find room for movement, for ensuring that we start to achieve some of them. Some need to be accelerated. We heard today from the Minister of Defense that the political party bill today was passed. It's now act by the Transitional National Assembly. That was positive news, but there's so much more that needs to happen. Fundamentally, is to ensure political to ensure civic space, to ensure political participation, to ensure women, youth, every South Sudanese has access to spaces where they can have their voices heard, they can be included, we can have free, fair, and credible elections, paving the way for a democratic South Sudan, paving the way for what we're all waiting to see, South Sudan rise up and take its place and move forward towards sustainable development.
So just bullet points. Which areas does the UN feel should be priority from now forward as we go to 2024?
Many things need to be done and done in parallel. The constitution needs to be articulated, it needs to be drafted, it needs to be participatory, it needs to include the voices of all South Sudanese. We need to have all of the steps for the elections preparations, including community education, including ensuring that we have strengthened media training, media engagement. A lot needs to happen for free, fair, and credible elections, including all of the systems required for actual voting. But there's so much. I don't have off the top of my head all of the steps, but everything required for elections to happen in South Sudan is required, including the election commission being capacitated, including all of the necessary bills and rules and laws and so forth. We also need to have, besides the elections constitution and so forth, institutions, public financial management, transitional justice, all of the things we've agreed in the revitalized agreement, all of them need to happen. Today, Defense Minister said we've had graduation of the necessary unified forces, but then we have to have the 7 more that need to happen at a different level. So it's a lot that needs to happen. And I can't tell you one is more important than the other. They're all important.
Yeah.
All of them are important.
Okay. Thank you. My final question to you really would be around disarmament, because this is Disarmament Week. and it's one of the key issues. There's still conflict in South Sudan. What are some of the things you plan to do in that area or that you know is being done?
Well, disarmament is conceived in so many ways. As a matter of a strategic policy of the Ministry of Peace Building, we believe in mental disarmament, not necessarily physical disarmament. And that is why we focus more on dialogues among the communities. We believe dialogues will disarm the communities. Creation of a different environment, cultural environment, with socio-economic factors in place, and the stability that must also come from our institution will disarm the population. At the end of the day, it is mental disarmament that will be sustainable and permanent. People have been disarmed in this country so many times, but have come back to rearm themselves. It is a prime responsibility of the state to provide public security. And it's a social contract between the state and the citizen. Citizen must be disarmed and protected at the same time. The both capacities of disarming them and providing them with alternative way of living. And that is what I call a creation of a conducive cultural environment, a different, completely different cultural environment of peace and stability with socio-economic support by the state and universal protection of the citizenry by the state.
All right, thank you. Ms. Nyanti, your final remarks, please.
I heard the Honorable Minister mention the issue of peace dissemination. And I think what I would say in relation to that is, in all the places I've been around South Sudan, the discussion we're having today with the PBC, the discussion we're having now in this interview, the average South Sudanese doesn't understand that. The women and girls in Malakal or Bentiu don't understand that. The ones I met in Bor, they don't understand that. What they understand is that, and I asked them, what does peace mean to you? I've asked women, what does peace mean to you? Some said, peace means I won't have nightmares at night. Some said, peace means that I won't have to make a choice whether I will go to the town or not, because if I go, I'll be raped. Peace means something different to all of them. It doesn't mean a roadmap. So my appeal to government is, in that peace dissemination, it's not so much about what's in the roadmap as much as it is about what South Sudanese want, how they view peace, how they want peace to be for them, how it should translate for their lives. And we're here as the United Nations to support the government of South Sudan and the people of South Sudan towards that vision of real, true, sustainable development, sustainable peace.
Okay. Your final remarks, Honorable Minister.
Well, I agree with Madam Sarah 100%. The government and the partners of the government, including the United Nations, can only facilitate dialogue among the communities. The communities must create their own peace. And it is the peace that is created by the community that is sustainable. Again, peace does not mean mere absence of violence. It must be a creation of completely different environment. Our people are traumatized. South Sudan is a traumatized nation. First and foremost, the state must remove all the element of trauma in the mind of the people by providing a physical security environment that creates peace of mind among the people, for the people to also build their own peace. It is not necessarily the state to build peace for the people, but the state must provide a conducive environment for peace building by the people, for the people to dialogue among themselves and also dialogue with the state. And our, objective mission, our strategic mission for peace building is to encourage dialogue with them.
I want to just ask for your response on this lastly. in the cases of the leaders who are actually the ones inciting violence among the people. We've had such reports. What would you say to that?
Well, legally speaking, incitement of violence is a criminal offense under the South Sudanese laws. And we are now building policies around that. The peace building policy that we are drafting now, in fact, will eventually be translated into an act, a law of the land, to illegalize or make it a criminal offense for leaders, political leaders of South Sudan, or anybody in the community to incite violence.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.